Good morning, folks. So as we seek new life in Christ, as we do every Sunday and every day, I invite you to rise and feel comfortable, and we'll start by singing our welcome home. This is your home. Doesn't matter who you are, or where you've been, or what you've done, this is your home. Doesn't matter what you believe or who you love, this is your home. Welcome home. My name is Reverend Cindy Bourgeois, and I'm honored to lead the worship service this morning at Wesley United Church. And as always, we need to acknowledge that we are on Treaty 4 land, because on September 15th in 1874 at Fort Capel, Treaty 4 was signed between the Cree Nation, the Salto Nation, and Her Majesty the Queen. And for time immemorial, the Plains Cree, the Salto, the Dakota, and the Lakota peoples have been on this land. And since contact the Métis, a post-contact indigenous people with roots in the historic Red River community have emerged to live on this land, and we are all treaty people. I'd like to thank our wonderful choir director, Lee Stubb, and the Fabulosos, who sing so beautifully, and I love the final verse there. It just moves me incredibly. And our reader today is June Blau, and our wonderful youth coordinator is Hannah Dove at the back. If you want to turn around and see someone waving. And now, I invite us to pray. The cosmic creator has crammed their canvas with all that is beautiful, filling it beyond capacity with hues and fragrances, textures, taste, and music to awaken the soul. How glorious to live in this universe, holy many one, how our hearts vibrate with the artistry of your love, how our senses and spirits are enlivened by the beauty of life revealed within and around us. Our gratitude cannot express our appreciation, our joy and love that we are so blessed. When we run from beauty, terrified of the passions that might wake us and fearful that it is last, that it might deceive us. How your tears must flow when we choose what is ugly, utilitarian, and functional alone. Forgive us, source of love, when we fail to embrace and enjoy and be the beauty that you have desired and created, and when we have robbed others of beauty, and renew us in the capacity for beauty, which was found in Christ Jesus. And may we both reflect and celebrate because of it. Amen. Now I invite you to join together in the spirit of the prayer that Jesus taught us all those years ago. A noble man. Amen. So I invite the children to come on up, and we're going to light a candle and tell a story. Amen. So let's have a seat here, and we're going to tell a story. So we're going to hear the story today about Jesus calling his first disciples. Ever heard that story? You ever heard that story? That's kind of what's happening, and I guess maybe
they met each other and they wanted to be their disciples.
Yeah, so what happened was, is that Jesus would actually, so remember, we started a couple weeks ago, and Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, right? So he was baptized by John, and then he went to the Spirit, drove him out into the wilderness. The Spirit drove him out into the wilderness, and he stayed there for 40 days, and the angels fed him, and he hung out with the wild beasts. And then he came back into town, and he found out that John the Baptist had been thrown in jail because they were afraid of what he was saying and what he was doing. And so Jesus said he moved to Galilee, to the Sea of Galilee, and he went to Capernaum. And he went there, and he lived there for a while. And he came out, and he said, and he told everyone, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So again, remember we said a minute ago that's turning to be in line with God, and that's what kind of the kingdom of heaven means. And so he went out, and to start this movement. He wants to start this thing to change the world. And he went out to the sea, and he saw these guys sitting there, and they were like fixing up their nets or something like that. They'd already gone out into the Sea of Galilee, which is really just a lake. He went out into the Sea of Galilee. It's not even that big of a lake. They went out into the Sea of, well, just saying. Just saying. And they went out, And they had been fishing all morning, which is the best time to fish, and they'd caught practically nothing. And then Jesus comes along and says, hey, why don't you go out there and fish right in the deepest water? And there was Peter and his brother, Andrew. And they were kind of like, who is this Rube? He doesn't know what he's talking about. For one thing, we fish now, you never get anything. If you go to the deepest part of the water, you don't get any fish there anyway. And Jesus said, come on, let's go. And they're like, okay, whatever, we'll go with this guy. So they went out, and they go out, and they go out, and the water was just like glass. It was just completely smooth. It was a really hot day. And they go out, and they're on this water, and they go to the deepest part of the water, and Jesus says, hey, put your nets in here. And Peter and Andrew roll their eyes and go, sure. So they throw their nets in the water, and then when they start to pull it out, they can't even get it. It's so heavy, it's almost breaking the nets. And they get all these fish, and there's just tons of these fish. So they go and they lug them onto the boat, and they go back in, and they go, that is amazing. I can't believe that happened. And Jesus said, okay, well, you guys are fisher people. So why don't you come with me, and I'll help you fish for people. And he said, what they're going to do, what that means is they're going to start this movement to go out and actually change the world. And so that's... And Simon Peter and Andrew, yeah, well, they sold some fish and they ate some, you know, all that stuff. And then they went and they followed Jesus, and they went on to his whole ministry and life and the rest of the story of the gospel. So that's the first disciples. And we say that we're disciples too, right? When you come here and you call yourself a Christian, you say you're a disciple of Jesus or a disciple of Christ. And so we're disciples too, and those were the very first disciples. And disciple really means learner, someone learning something. So that's what we're trying to do, is trying to learn about Jesus so that we might live better lives and help create a better world too, just like Jesus wanted to. Okay, so loving God, we know that through you we can find a way to live our lives so that it's best for the whole world, not just ourselves. We know that when we follow Jesus, when we live our lives as disciples of Christ, that we can be part of the healing of the world. So we give thanks for your direction, we give thanks for your existence, and we give thanks for all these things. And we also give thanks for milk, which makes our bones strong and tastes yummy. And if you scoop off the cream, it goes deliciously in your coffee. Hold on. We give thanks for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. What was your idea?
And so the story continues. It is just 40 some odd days or 2 weeks in Wesley time since Jesus was baptized and the Spirit drove him into the wilderness for a time of prayer and fasting. Upon his emergence from the wilderness, Jesus finds out that John the Baptist has been arrested. Jesus knows that it is time to start his ministry, so he moves to the Sea of Galilee and takes up residence in Capernaum. There he declares his mission statement, calling people to repentance, to turn in the direction of God, metanoia, as he declares the kingdom of heaven to be near. Next, Jesus calls his first disciples, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. He calls them to join him in a movement to co-create the kingdom of God, of heaven. A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Quote, land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. End of quote. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. As we reflect on these words from our tradition, may we find wisdom for living.
Start by saying we're here because of our discipleship. We gather at Wesley United Church on Sunday mornings because we're disciples of Christ. And we just heard that iconic story of Jesus calling his first disciples, Simon Peter and his brother Andrew. And Jesus met them by the Sea of Galilee that day and said, "Come with me and I will teach you to fish for people," which is really the inclusive language version of the old saying, "I will make you fishers of men." Now, these words have been taken to mean that we should go and convert people to Christianity, whatever that means. But that kind of conversion was not what Jesus' ministry was about. He was looking to start a movement. And to see how this is true, we need only consult the first part of today's reading. After finding John the Baptist had been arrested, Jesus is moved to begin his movement, and he proclaims, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And then Jesus calls his first disciples not to convert people to Christianity, but to participate in the co-creation of this kingdom of heaven, to participate in something new. And we're called to repent. Talk about a loaded word. When we see that word, repent, we have visions of a fire and brimstone preacher telling you to repent because you are a sinner. Or we think of that person who wears the sandwich board sign and a megaphone telling you what a horrible person you are. And this image evokes an expression of Christianity that unfortunately does have a basis in history, but it's far from our best expression. It implies that discipleship can be reduced to obeying the moral values of an arbitrary white male way of being. It tells you that you're a sinner, that you're bad, that you're horrible, and you're unacceptable to God. And that is not true. And a lot of the blame for this form of Christianity lies at the feet of this substitutionary atonement theology that tells us that Jesus had to die for our sins, because that's the only way that God could love us. God couldn't love us the way we are and So I had to write God's self into the story so that God could love Jesus and thus save us from our sins. Now that's a fantastic and creative theory developed in the 11th century by Anselm of Canterbury. But it has nothing, almost nothing to do with a biblical witness, except that Jesus does call us to repent and is eventually crucified. But when we look to Scripture, we see something very different. We see something different from the accusations of worthlessness. Jesus' only commandment is to love and care for your neighbor. And the best of the Hebrew Bible is centered in love. And the Apostle Paul tells us again and again that God loves us no matter what, and that we're simply called to love back. In fact, Paul says that when we live life in Christ Jesus, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That the love of God is there for us, no matter what. But still, we've got to return to that word, repent, so loved by the fire and brimstone preachers. That we might repent so that we might be more like them, so we might conform to their way of being. But repent has a much more subtle meaning. As I said earlier, it's translated from the Greek metanoia, where at its most basic, it means to turn. But in its nuance, it also implies a spiritual transformation. It encourages us to turn in the direction of the divine and to align ourselves with the divine. It encourages transformation, or what some theologians call creative transformation. Now, at some level, this call to metanoia, this call to spiritual transformation, implies that we are not there yet, that we are not perfect people. But I think we all knew that already. On our bad days, it's hard to feel good about oneself at all, whether that's because of anxiety or just the human condition. And even on our good days, we know we're not perfect. But again, that can never separate us from the love of God. So as we seek this metanoia, which we try to find as disciples of Christ, when we seek a spiritual transformation, or a creative transformation through Christ, there's an implication that we're looking for something more, that we're looking for something new, that's for something better. But that doesn't make us bad. It just makes us human. And that's what the Apostle Paul was telling us, that we can have this life in Christ Jesus. Paul calls us to a new way of being that he referred to life in Christ Jesus. And this has nothing to do with Jesus' alleged divinity or physical resurrection. Instead, it means a call to a new way of being. Life in Christ means that we have a pathway to a new life that is in sync with the life that Jesus wants for us when he called us to repent, when he called us to metanoia. And that's why some theologians speak of what's called creative transformation. The world is always changing. The world is always in transformation. In each moment, we have a new world, regardless whether we're good or bad, regardless of whether we're sinners or not. And what some theologians do is they look at Jesus as actually embodying that creative transformation. When we see the life that Jesus lived, the example he set, the teachings he gave us, they say that Jesus embodies creative transformation in the world. That Jesus lived a life that is so in tune, so in rhythm with all that is good and positive in the world. That Jesus lived in oneness with the pulse of the universe, and that his call to co-create the kingdom of God opens us to the creative transformation in the world. So when we live life in Christ, we can participate in that creative transformation in the world, not as specimens or automatons, but as human beings with free will. When we reach out to the divine call to justice and right relationship so that we might be part of that creative transformation, we do so as disciples of Christ. And when we do that, we live life in Christ. When we embrace life in Christ, we have the possibilities of being co-creators of the kingdom. And that's introduced to life in Christ Jesus by seeking the oneness with Christ and therefore oneness with the pulse of the universe. We have an opportunity for metanoia. We have an opportunity for something new. And that is good news. Amen.
So one last time. Let's read.
Our minute for mission today is entitled Special Camp, Special Days at Camp Whitney. Mission and Service provides grants to United Church camps like Camp Whitney in Alberta, where children between the ages of 6 and 15 can explore their relationship with God, nature, and each other. So what should kids expect at Camp Whitney? According to the staff, there are no typical days. Each day is special and packed with fun for each camper. One activity is God Talk, where campers get to know more about the Bible in exciting and enjoyable ways. Campers can also take part in sports such as archery, swimming, or canoeing, or get involved with arts and crafts or drama. There's time to relax on a beautiful beach, have fun playing outdoor games, enjoy nature, and gather around an evening campfire to sing and share stories. Most of all, Camp Whitney is a place for Christian fellowship and to make friends. We are thankful that Mission and Service is part of camping ministry. Camps are important places for children and youth to explore their faith and develop leadership skills. If Mission and Service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me in making Mission and Service giving a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thanks, June. Now we have some time for announcements. Do we have any folks with announcements? Here comes somebody. Come on up. Don't be afraid.
Hello. I'm Sharon Mark. I am here to welcome you to the newcomers luncheon that we'll have immediately after this service. So please stay, grab your name tag so people will know who they're sitting with. And we'll be setting up over here in this corner.
Good morning. Two quick announcements today. First off, Tuesday is the next in the Green Parenting series, which is about minimizing single-use plastics. For those of you who aren't familiar with this series, the idea is to provide folks with information on one topic each month to help make changes to our habits that benefit the environment. And they're designed with parents in mind, but the information is relevant to anyone with interest in the topic. So there'll be three speakers this time discussing environmental concerns with plastic and ways to reasonably reduce plastic use in our daily lives. There'll be coffee and tea and a free will offering. And the other announcement that I need to make is about the table service on February 9th. Many of you will remember back in October, we had a table service discussing possible future paths for Wesley. We focused on some different ways of increasing revenue, reducing costs, increasing membership. And now that council's had the chance to look at those recommendations that came out of that meeting and analyze some of the opinions that were expressed, we have decided we need to take this a step further, this conversation. So on February 9th, we're going to continue the discussion to discern our path forward and to really focus on kind of big picture possibilities for the future of Wesley. So we're asking for as many of you as possible to attend. Your input is really important here, so please plan to come. And if you can't come, there will be other opportunities to make your views known. Certainly, I'm always willing to listen, and you can grab someone else on council and pass that information along as well. But there will be no kind of votes or final decisions made on that day. It's just the next step in that conversation. I just rambled a heck of a lot longer than I intended to. All right, that's it for me.
God loves you anyway, Dan. And speaking of loving someone, I'm going to point you to, I believe it's your announcements, that Janine Driver, who is a longtime member here at Wesley, her 90th birthday is on January 31st, and her son Kim sent an email to us asking us to, if anybody wants to give her a call or send her a card. The address and stuff is in the actual bulletin, so, feel free to contact Janine and remind her that we love her still, even though she's up in Saskatoon with her family. And take an opportunity to do that, because it's really important to do those sorts of things, just because it kind of connects us to our history a little bit. And I think that's an important thing too, to remember that we didn't just start this week or last week, but that we've been around for a bit, and that, you know, the community at Wesley means something. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Let us pray. Holy Many One, Flux of Love, we give thanks for all our relations, for all of creation, for the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. Even the rocks cry out, giving thanks for all of life. We give thanks for the farmers who bring in the harvest. We give thanks for the migrant workers working the land. We give thanks for all that we ever bring to our table. We give thanks for the sun and the wind and the rain and even the snow. And may we live in respect with creation, such that our children will survive for unknown generations. And as we turn to metanoia, as we seek new life in Christ, we pray for all in need by reason of famine, food, flood, earthquake, or political strife. And so we pray for the people in Australia recovering from wildfires. We pray for the people in China affected by the coronavirus. We pray for the people in Turkey affected by the earthquake. We pray for peace and justice around the world, in Hong Kong, in Iran, in Ethiopia. We pray for peace, justice, and love in the United States. We pray for all children separated by their families. May we have metanoia as we seek new life in Christ. We pray for whom the world counts as last and least, for Indigenous women in their strength and vulnerability, including the missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit women and their families, as we ache for reconciliation. We pray for those most open to violence, for refugees, for trans women of color, for prisoners, for all street-involved people in Regina and around the world. May we have metanoia as we seek new life in Christ. We pray for all who suffer the pain of sickness, depression, loneliness, fear, or loss. We pray that those whose names are in our hearts or in the hearts of others are known to you alone, may receive strength and courage. We pray for those in need. May we have a metanoia as we seek new life in Christ. We thank you, Holy Mystery, which is holy love, that you do hear our prayers, and we give thanks for grace so that we might be part of the healing of the world. Amen. After the offering has been collected, we'll sing the words, which of course will be displayed on the screens. In seeking metanoia and seeking creative transformation, may we tie our spiritual transformation to our generosity and our givings. The offering is received. In creative transformation through life in Christ Jesus, we bring our gifts to you, Holy Many One. Help us to give them with a ready mind, a willing spirit, and a joyful heart. Amen. I invite you to remain standing, and we will sing for Voices United. I heard the voice of Jesus today say, go into the world in the creative transformation of the cosmic Christ, so that your metanoia becomes at one with the metanoia of the world. And know this, God loves you because you are lovable. You cannot earn it, but it is there for you this day and all days. Amen.